Amen. Praise the Lord for that again. What a blessing that was. Praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 1, Acts in chapter 1, we find that the Lord worked through Luke to write the book of Luke, and there at the end of the book of Luke, giving us a resurrection story, then it would continue in the book of Acts. Luke is the same one that God used to pen the book of Acts. And he picks up where he left off there at the end of the gospel, Luke. And Acts chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 9. So if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read the word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. And if you listen quickly, then I will preach quickly, because we do have communion tonight. Looking forward to that. And this kind of prepares us for communion as well. Have a baptism tonight, and so we just got both ordinances that Christ left the church to do, and we'll be experiencing both of those tonight. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." The ascension of Christ. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. Thank you for what we've already experienced. Just being back in the house of the Lord tonight. What a blessing that through the resurrection, you established the first day of the week as the Lord's day, allowing us to take advantage of the entire day as we come back here tonight. And I just pray, God, that you would just continue to meet with us and bless now as we preach your Holy Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the question of the apostles before Jesus would ascend is going to be what we're looking at here this morning, this evening rather. Now, think about it, what the question would reveal. Now, Christ has already resurrected. He met with his apostles for 40 days. The Bible is very clear about this. For 40 days, instructing them now on the New Testament church, instructing them on what he had prepared for them, that they would run with that which he had established, and that's the New Testament church. Explaining to them everything that they would have need to know, them, each one now, being assured that he is the Messiah. He was and is the Christ child. They had listened to what he had been telling them. Verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, until that day which is taken up after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles. They listened. He had given them more commandments. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm commanding you to do as you're taking the church forward. In verse 3, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. I mean, he's continuing to work and continuing to teach them things for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, which is the ways of God. The ways of God that has been brought to this earth, what God would expect out of born-again believers throughout this New Testament church age. He is explaining that to them. And he's given them this challenge, and he's given this command. And the apostles during the apostolic age were the ones that the disciples looked to. They actually spoke the very words of God until after the Bible was completed. At the end of the apostolic age, the Bible now is completed. And so there's no need for signs and wonders. There's no need for speaking in tongues. Now we have the completion of the Word of God, and we look to each book of the Bible. We look to every word that God had that proceeded out of the mouth of God to live by, to establish New Testament Christianity and continue to live by it. So that's what's being done right here. And so after he does this, before his ascension, we find verse 6. Verse 6, it says, when they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now again, this was somewhat of the failure, and it still is a failure, of the Orthodox Jew. They do not believe that Jesus was the Messiah because he did not usher in the kingdom. They've lost sight of the New Testament church age, which was very clearly revealed to them by the Lord Jesus Christ that he was come to fulfill the Old Testament. In this New Testament age, he would have to come as a sacrificial lamb. But when he returns, he will not be the sacrificial lamb. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will set up a throne, and he will rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him during a millennial reign of Christ. So we know that to be what has been established, what the scriptures teach. They did not have the entire New Testament, neither did they have the book of Revelation to affirm what we know today. Okay, so they didn't have all of that, but they did have his instructions on what they were to do. The first thing that they did, even before they asked the questions, and you might have questions tonight, and you might be praying that God would give you answers, that God would give you insight, direction, whatever it might be. Can I tell you that this is a way that you start out? The first thing that happened before they would ask the questions, knowing that he was be ascending up to heaven anytime, they reverenced him. They said, Lord. Christian living begins here. Salvation is a gift. You didn't work your way for salvation. You could not work your way to be saved. You could not buy your way into heaven. You had to believe that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. You have to believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And then you have to, by faith, call upon the name of the Lord. And when you call upon the name of the Lord to be your Savior, he will in no wise cast you out. He will save your soul. If you believe, all you have to do is receive that gift of salvation. But as we look to live the Christian life, it begins with reverencing him. Understand who is Lord. Understand that Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And that's when we see him next, we will see him as Lord of lords and King of kings. You can't stop being saved, because once you're saved, you're God's child. He's going to start dealing with you as one of his children. You have the Spirit of God that dwells within you, that seals you to the day of redemption. Amen. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you can't give it back. I don't see why anybody would ever want to. I was told that by someone that has a little different beliefs. Oh, we don't believe you can lose it, but you can give it back if you want to give it back. If you've ever received it, you never want to give it back. You can't stop being saved, but you can stop living the Christian life. Not without consequences. But you can stop living the Christian life. Every day, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Start off every week, as we preached on this morning. Jesus established through his resurrection, he established the first day of the week as the Lord's day. every day acknowledge Jesus as Lord if you're going to live the Christian life. So they reverenced him. And then they asked the question, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were confident that he could. They were confident that it was taught and prophesied that he would, because they knew he had the power. He just resurrected from the grave. They knew him to be God. They knew him to have the authority because he created all things. But before he would ascend, they acknowledged him as Lord, but they wanted to know this. First century Christianity wanted to know this. When are you coming back? Every generation, Christian generation since, has wanted to know that. His answer. Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know. You see, they wanted to know this, but can I tell you, we can't handle all the truths. We can't handle. If you knew what you might have to go through before the rapture or before your life on this earth was over, you might not be able to handle it. More than likely, we would not be able to. Many of us think, oh, I couldn't handle that. If something happened to my spouse, I couldn't handle that. If something happened to my child, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. Listen to me. Until it happens to you, until you have to face that, you will not have the grace to do that. But if you are serving God and you're looking to Jesus Christ as Lord, when that happens, and if it is God's will that you experience that, he will give you the grace that you have need of to make it through it. But if you knew that ahead of time, it would change everything. My wife and I have been married for a long time. This year, 39 years. We're getting closer. Amen. We still got a long way to go. But that thought, what will you do if God takes the one before the other? What if you knew that God would take your spouse before he would take you? Wouldn't it change everything? If you knew that this was the last year that you have to live, the last year that you had to walk on planet Earth, would it change everything about how you would live? There are certain things that God says it's not for you to know. When it's time for you to know, I'll let you know. I want you to know everything that you have need to know. But until then, it's not for you to know. Knowing the exact time would destroy watchfulness, first of all. Jesus would tell the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. The Christian life, it's a continual watch and pray. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what's going on around you and pray, God, give me wisdom. Give me strength. We know not what a day may bring. If we knew, if they would have known, if Jesus says, well, don't worry about it. It's going to be at least 2,000 years. Do you think there would be an urgency to watch and pray? Or would you have a tendency to let down your guard? If you knew that he would not come in your lifetime, would you have a little bit different, maybe even be vulnerable to the temptation of, wait a few more years, he's not coming? You might have a little bit more of a temptation to say, no, I don't need to be in church. I don't need this and I don't need that, and I can explore different things and I can experience different things because He's not coming tonight. He's not coming in my lifetime. Would we be a little bit more vulnerable to how Satan would work against us? And the answer is yes. You would have. It's just human nature. We would not be watching, and we would not be praying unless we thought, you know, it could be tonight. Am I ready? We ought to live every day as if Christ is coming back tonight. If you live every day of your life as if Christ is coming back that very night, I guarantee you, you will reverence the Lord Jesus Christ and you will do what you ought to do. In doing what you ought to do, you will be what you ought to be as a Christian for others to view, as a witness to the power of Christ. Wow. The act of watchfulness is important for us to maintain the Christian life, daily Christian living. The second thing is, to know would destroy works. Now, works don't save you, but you're saved to do a work for Christ. That's the purpose that we have for life. If he would have told them, no, 2,000 years, would they have worked as hard? But if they would believe that it's a possibility he could come tonight, or at least in my life, they would be committed to working for him. To know would destroy work, because human nature is we don't work as hard if we know that we have plenty of time. Anybody else fall in that category? Yeah. We put off today if we know we can get it done tomorrow. And then tomorrow, we put off again till tomorrow. If we have that tomorrow. And if you're a man, you just never do it until the wife beats you over the head and says, get it done now. Yeah. We just keep putting it off until we know when that look she gives us. Okay, all right, I'll do it. Yeah. But that's human nature. It was not for them to know. We would not occupy till he comes. That was the instructions that the Lord would give them. Occupy. Be busy. Do the work that I've called you to do. Don't be a slugger. Work. Because it could be this very night. That's how God wants all of us to live in every generation of Christianity. As we look back, every preacher worth of salt would preach, he's coming in my life. I still believe that. Amen. 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 And I'm closer to anyone that's ever lived before me. Amen. He might not, but I'm going to live as if he is. What we must be concerned about is not when, but what he would have us to do until that time comes. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's up to God. It's up to the Father. And then he says, one of the most powerful verses in all the Bible for New Testament Christianity, but ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit today. And with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have the power. And the power is for this purpose. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. That is your very neighborhood. That is your own family. That is those that are closest to you. And it says, in all Judea, as we extend our witness out, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can I tell you that the message that he gave his disciples is the very same message that he would have every one of us to cling to today? Know that he will come, but be more concerned about what he would have you to do until he comes. It might be another 2,000 years. I can't see that. That's almost an impossibility in my mind with the way the conditions are in the world. The signs and everything else leading up. We know what it will be like before the rapture of the church. The world will be ready for a one-world religion. The world will be ready for an antichrist religion. The world will be ready for a one-world government. The world will be ready for a one-world currency. If you don't see all of those things falling in line today, then you are blinded. I'm telling you, it's going to be in my lifetime. But whether it is or not, the message is reverence him. Focus on his purpose for your life. For he's equipped you to do what he would have you to do today. When the time comes and you face those things that you don't even know about, if you're serving him, you will have the grace to help in your time of need. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. He would have us to focus on the present. He's equipped us to do that. He's given us all the insight that we have need of to do what he has called us to do. We have that information. We have that insight. When the time comes, he'll prepare you for whatever else you will have to face. Live the Christian life. Reverence our Lord and walk with him. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the life and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. It proves your love. It proves your willingness to sacrifice for us. It proves that you are who you said you were. God, we know that as we continue to look to you, we have our marching orders throughout this New Testament church age. And I trust that every born-again believer, especially those in this auditorium here tonight, will be committed to living the Christian life. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.